welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today. Well, today I'm really excited to be speaking on the phone with Jewel Katz, author of Cinderella's Magical Wheelchair. The story demonstrates how people with disabilities can overcome abuse. It's also a story that children with disabilities can identify with. But not only that, it teaches children without disabilities that they have the same feelings and thoughts as they do themselves. We also have on the phone two young girls that reviewed the book, and they're here to help me. They are Maddie and Sophia McElroy. It's always great to have children involved, and because after all, this book is written for them. But before we talk to Jewel, I'd like you to know a little bit about her. Jewel Katz is an award-winning author, and for 6 years she penned a teen advice column for Young People's Press, Confidentially Yours. It appeared in dozens of newspapers via the Scripps Howard News Service and Torstar Syndication Services. Her work on the column led her to win $5,000 writing scholarship by Women's Publisher, Harlequin Enterprises Limited. She later earned a $15,000 scholarship from Global Television Network. She hails from Indo-Canadian background and calls Toronto home. Hi, Jewel.
Hi.
Great to talk to you again. And hi, Maddie.
Hi.
Hi, Sophia.
Hi.
I'm so glad to have Maddie and Sophia helping me today. But before we start with their questions, they've got some questions that they just really are wanting to ask Jewel. I'd like Jewel to tell our listening audience just a brief synopsis of what this book is, Cinderella's Magical Wheelchair.
Cinderella's Magical Wheelchair is a story that's really, really important to me. And it's basically a fairy tale, and it takes place in a kingdom far, far away. And in this version, Cinderella, she basically zips around in a wheelchair. And she does chores night and day for her stepmother and her twin stepsisters. And one day an invitation arrives, and Cinderella is basically promised she can attend the royal costume ball. However, there's a catch. Cinderella has to complete her chores and make jewelry for the twins. And she does this, but on the night of the ball, her stepfamily is totally shocked. And Cinderella looks gorgeous, and they go nuts and basically puncture her wheelchair tire. And this is actually when something magical happens, and Cinderella, she gets to meet the prince. And I guess I'll leave the rest of the story mystery for you guys.
That's great. Jewel and listening audience, I want you to know that Maddie and Sophia both read this book and gave a review of it. So I'm going to have them go ahead and whichever one of you want to start, Maddie or Sophia, and ask Jewel your first question.
Why did you write this book?
Okay, well, that's a very good question. I've always loved the story of Cinderella. When I was young, my mom would read it to me, and I'd beg her to read it again and again and again. And when I grew up, I was still in love with this story. So I'd go to the library, I'd go to the bookstore, and I'd try to find different versions of it. So I found, the Korean Cinderella, I found the Indian version, and I came across so many different versions, but I never, ever, ever found a story where there was a Cinderella with a disability like me, and I couldn't relate, right? So I thought, why not? Why don't I be that person who writes the story? So basically, that's why I wrote Cinderella's Magical Wheelchair.
Oh, okay. Well, I had another question, but you just answered that, too.
Jewel, just tell the girls about your disability.
Okay, sure. Well, when I was 9 years old, I was in a really bad car crash. A car basically came and hit me when I was in the back seat of my mom's car. And I was in the hospital for many, many weeks. It's a hospital here in Toronto called Sick Children's Hospital. And I was basically out of commission for about a year, and since then, I've had 8 leg surgeries, and I currently use a cane. And sometimes I use a wheelchair when I have to do a long-distance walk or if I have to go for a long excursion, say, in a big mall because I love shopping. Then I do use a wheelchair, but otherwise, mostly you'll find me with a cane.
Do you ever go to school to talk about your book?
I haven't done that yet. But I actually do have the intention to read the story in the hospital where I was at, because there's so many kids out there with disabilities who I think would absolutely love the story. I volunteered at the hospital. There's actually a place in the hospital called Bear Theater, and I used to perform in the theater in there, so I was thinking of organizing a show in there based on Cinderella's magical wheelchair. And I have contacted some teachers about doing some public speaking about Cinderella's magical wheelchair. So everything is in the works right now.
Do you plan on writing more books like this one?
Of course. Actually, you know what? That's a very good question. Because you know what my dream is? My dream is to write a whole series of fairy tales that feature a character with a disability, and the character would be the main character. So, for example, I want to rewrite Snow White and Little Red Riding Hood and stories like that, basically. And I have so many ideas, and I want to be the first author to do that, and I'm very excited about it.
Do you think that that's a good idea, Maddie and Sophia, that she does use stories like this and take in fairy tales?
Yes.
Why do you think it's a good idea?
Because kids like fairy tales, and kids like fairy tales, and they like those books.
Really? And do you think that people without disabilities can relate to these stories, or can they learn something from these stories?
Yes.
Yeah? And what do you think they can learn from it? Like for example, I know both of you don't have a disability, so when you first closed Cinderella's magical wheelchair, what was the first thought that came to your mind?
That it's hard to have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be easy if you work through it.
Uh-huh. And what was your favorite scene in the book?
Probably when her fairy godmother comes and her fairy godmother comes.
Oh, really? So you love the magic, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's pretty funny, Monique. She's always making mistakes. So how do you feel around people with disabilities?
I don't know.
Do you feel comfortable? Do you feel like asking questions? Do you look away?
Comfortable sometimes.
You feel uncomfortable sometimes? Or comfortable?
No, not really. Just comfortable.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And have you ever noticed people with disabilities being treated differently?
Well, no, I haven't, but I've heard that some people will.
Oh, really? And what happened?
Well, I really don't know. I just heard that people sometimes will, like, make fun of them or not treat them as they will with other people.
Yeah. And how did that make you feel?
Bad for them.
Bad.
Yeah.
Jewel, maybe we could just talk about that right now. Is it okay to ask questions of a person of a disability and ask them, you know, what happened, or, you know, where's that boundary, especially for children? Where is the boundary?
It really depends on the person. I think everyone is unique, right? I mean, like, if a child was to approach me or an adult was to approach me, I'd be very comfortable because I'm an extrovert. I can talk to anybody and everybody. But then you'll meet people with disabilities who are very shy and introverted. So if you were to, like, approach them, maybe they would shy away from you, and maybe they're not comfortable talking about their disability because they feel it's a personal issue. So you really have to look at their body language. You basically have to see how they react. And based on that, you can go ahead and ask a question. And sometimes, you never know, sometimes people with a disability will volunteer the information from there. You can, you know, like, be polite and ask more questions if you're interested, because it's kind of a compliment when someone takes an interest in you, right?
Mm-hmm. Jill, you had said earlier when you first started talking and then the synopsis that writing this book was important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it so important for you to write this specific book?
Well, I want to give kids the opportunity to dream, and specifically kids with disabilities. I think growing up when I was physically different, I was never told I could be a princess. And when I was actually writing this book in a workshop at George Brown College, I remember there was a female student who looked at me and she looked at me like I was ridiculous. And, you know, it was kind of like what one of the characters said in the book, that, you know, princesses and wheelchairs don't mix. And then, you know what, I like to think otherwise. I think they do mix, and it can happen, and one day it will happen. It's important to me because, as I said earlier, Cinderella is my favorite story, and I think that it's about time someone actually took initiative and wrote a story about a girl who uses a wheelchair and meets a prince and, you know, lives in her happily ever after land.
Do you know, when you were a child and growing up, you know, at the time that when the kids started kind of getting mean at the ages of maybe 8, 9, 10, did you find that other kids were mean to you or teased you because you were either using a cane or because of the disability, because you were different?
Honestly, I'm really, really fortunate. I went to a school here in Markham, Ontario, and I was not teased at all. And I think a lot of it has to do not only with my peers who were very kind and nice, it had to do with my own attitude.
Mm-hmm.
I was very positive, and up until this day, I remain very positive. I never felt like I was any less because I had a disability. Like, yes, you know, it takes me a little bit longer to do things and I can't climb stairs, but so what? You know, there's always elevators. There's always an escalator. I make do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this attitude, it basically influenced the attitude of my peers towards me. Because, like, I really, really believe that positive energy is contagious. I really wholeheartedly always say that, and I believe that.
You know, it's just amazing as a child that you have that attitude, because it's really, really easy to become a victim. And, you know, and of course, when the disability is from birth or, you know, early ages, the child is sort of, that's life, that's the way they are. But when a disability happens later on in life, when prior to that, the person would say, you know, quote, have a normal life without a disability, and all of a sudden there's some disability that comes into effect, they become victims, and they go through, you know, the stages of grief, really, because there's just a lot of denial and anger at the beginning. And I'd like you to address that. How does that affect happen in a child as well? Because, you know, by adults, we already know all those emotions, but what happens to a child when they get the disability later on in their, you know, childhood?
Well, you know what? I can actually speak from personal experience in that regard. As you know, I became physically different as a kid, and I'm just a human being, right? And there was a point where, yes, I did mourn because I would see kids in the playground doing things I couldn't do. And even just the other day, I became very sad at the idea that I'd never be able to ride a horse. I love animals. I'm crazy about animals. So, yes, that does happen, but I think that's just a part of life. And I think children are very resilient, they're very strong, and I think we should give them more credit than what's due. And if your child or a child that you know is grieving more than what you think is healthy, then yes, of course, you should get them into some sort of self-esteem boosting classes, or involve them in activities with other disabled children, or into some form of therapy so they can get to where they should be.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, you're certainly one good example of accepting what has happened to you and moving on.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life experience as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through Direct Podcast, as well as MP3 download for your convenience. Please visit us on InsideScoopLive.com. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Today I'm talking with Jewel Katz, author of Cinderella's Magical Wheelchair. I'm also assisted by Maddie and Sophia McElroy. As you've heard so far, the girls have some very interesting questions to ask of Jewel. And, hey, who better to answer than the author herself? Stay tuned because there's just so much more. And, by the way, Jewel's website address is jewelkatz.com. And now, you know, there's always something, there's a saying that there's always something good that comes out of something bad. And, of course, at the time of the accident, you know, it was devastating. But look what you're doing now and teaching the world, really, teaching children about disabilities.
That's so sweet. I'm so touched that you said that.
Well, it is so true.
Wow.
It is so true because now, you know, you've stepped out of that. And how could you teach somebody, how could you write this book, or how could you go and speak to children without, you know, having that experience yourself and showing them? I mean, that it's a real gift that you are presenting.
Wow. I'm, like, so flattered. Thank you so much.
So let's just kind of talk about fairy tales and disabilities. You know, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and fairy tales and disabilities don't mesh because, really, I think Pinocchio was the only one that had the nose that grew and grew and grew, and I'm sure mm-hmm. that it got in the way. And that could have been the disability. But
yeah, he's physically different. Yeah, you're right.
But, you know, I can't think of any other fairy tale that does have, the characters that are different.
The only two that actually come to mind when I'm sitting here thinking right now are maybe Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Right.
And uh-huh. he's physically different. But it's a lovely story, like, don't get me wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's a very lovely story. I mean, it's very romantic and, you know, Quasimodo and Esmeralda. She looks over his disability, but in a way that kind of angers me, in the sense that why is it always that whenever there is someone with a disability in the story, why is it that we have to first get to know them? Why can't they be beautiful from the start, like
mm-hmm.
Cinderella in my book?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to, you know, treat them like Beauty and the Beast, you know, like where you have to fall in love with their inner beauty, because that's not true. I mean, you can be physically different and very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in 2008, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but BBC Three and Love Productions, they put together a reality show. It was called Britain's Missing Top Model.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear about that show?
No, not at all. That's a Canadian show, was it? Or British?
No, it's actually British.
British. BBC. Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. They actually found me on Facebook, and they asked me to enter the competition as a model.
Uh-huh.
I did enter. Unfortunately, I didn't make the cut. But basically, the show's concept was it was a competition to fish out the first supermodel with a disability. And while this is like a fantastic concept, the question of what defines beauty in the disability community came up, right?
Uh-huh.
Because when they picked the contestants, not one of them was non-white. And that made me very sad because, once again, it was like, if you're to be disabled, do you have to look a certain way to be considered
uh-huh.
attractive? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's surprising because, you know, in Britain, there's so many minorities.
Yes.
And there are people from different races and everything, and there are different people with who are minorities and physically different.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So why is it they can't be beautiful, too?
Yeah, wow. Jewel, tell us about your cane. I know about your cane, but I think the audience and Maddie and Sophia need to know about your cane. It's magical.
I love my cane.
I love your cane.
I have to come down there and show you in person.
Yes.
It's a black cane. It's very funky. It's It has like a hand-painted design, which I had done by an artist. I was traveling in Bangladesh, and I came across this plate that I liked at an aunt's house. And I told her, I'm like, I love this design. And she's like, you know what? I'll get an artist to replicate it for you.
Uh-huh.
So she was kind enough to find an artist, and they basically painted it. And I swear to you, that king gets more attention than me. Even my fiancé, I think I told you this before, my fiancé thought it was a fashion accessory. He had no idea that I needed it to actually walk and everything. But, yeah, it's really funky, and it's my best friend, and we're together all the time. So I thought, you know, if I'm going to use you, you better look good.
No kidding. That's great. Maddie, do you have any questions of Jewel?
Well, one thing I was thinking that you were talking about people with disabilities. I knew this one girl who had this kind of disability, and when she was in the hospital, she needed to be in there for like 3 weeks. So I went and saw her for a while. And
oh, really? That's nice.
Won a card game and just played with her a lot.
That's very, very nice of you. I remember when I was in the hospital, sometimes I would feel alone because I could not move at all. And the only person that I would talk to, well, apart from my family came every day to see me. And I'm very, very grateful for that. But there used to be a girl next to me, in the bed next to me, and we couldn't see each other because neither of us could move. But we would talk to each other. And my only regret is up until this day, I've never seen her face.
Wow.
So it is, it's so nice of you, Maddie, to go and visit your friend. I can't commend you enough. It's really, really nice of you. I'm sure you made her day.
Anything else, Maddie? Any other questions? Jewel, your website address.
www.jewel.com.
There you go, listeners. We've just been talking to Jewel Katz and her most recent book, Cinderella's Magical Wheelchair. And as you've heard, it is a magical book. And we've also so grateful to have Maddie and Sophia on with us and asking important questions that come from that age group that the book is intended for. I really encourage you, listeners, if you have somebody in your family, a child that has a disability, it doesn't necessarily have to be someone in a wheelchair, but some type of disability that makes them just slightly different from others, I encourage you, I really do encourage you to check out Cinderella's Magical Wheelchair. I'm looking at it right now, and it is so magical. The illustrations are great. It's very colorful, and it has such a great story to really get that child to go within and be okay with themselves. And as you've heard, Jewel has her firsthand experience because she was that child, and she does have a disability, so she understands. Maddie and Sophia, thank you so much for helping me out again. You guys are real troopers.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thanks, Jewel.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
And this is Irene Watson for Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.